Thank you so much again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us as we come to you with the final in the series from Babylon to Jerusalem. This is a broadcast I find very intriguing because of what God is doing. He is revealing to his people what is going to take place in the very near future. It began really with the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of the Chaldees, the Chaldean Empire, the Chaldean Kingdom, and he came and of course he took over Judah. He took the leaders and some of the nobles from Judah. He brought them to Babylon, and Daniel was among them, and God used Daniel to record a lot of this information, which you, in fact most of it, which we now have the privilege of actually reading and studying and learning of what has transpired and also what is going to take place in the very near future. As we have seen, the many governments have taken over the territory of the previous land or government that they conquered. So also the kingdom of God will consume all the earth. It's going to consume all those that remain after the resurrection of the Roman Empire, and of course there is a brief vacuum, but you will see as we go through the study, because this is what God has purposed. And of course after the final resurrection of the Roman Empire, there isn't going to be any dominant worldwide power formation again. It is going to be the kingdom of God which is established. So after all, you know, Jesus is going to take over these things because he made it all. All things were made by him and for him. We read in the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, that starting at verse 1, At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stand for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. So here it is, at this time, the time of the end, Michael is going to stand up. He's the one who is in charge of taking care of in the spirit realm for the folks, the nations of Israel, original nations, and that includes the United States and Britain and Canada and so on. Many of them that sleep in the dust, it says in verse 2 of the earth, shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So folks, it's going to have a resurrection. And at that time, the wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. And that is what is going to be the status of the folks in the church. Now, this is the same time that we read about in the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter. Let's turn to it quickly and look at it. This is the time of trouble that Daniel was speaking of. Well, you cannot have one time more powerful than the other. More powerful than the other. And so it says in Matthew, the 24th chapter, and for then shall be great tribulation, that is verse 21, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. So here it is, it's going to be bigger than anything you've ever had and anything you will have in the future. Well, great tribulation, well, that's the same thing Daniel was saying, so it has to be the same time. And so what we have seen then is that except those days shall be shortened, there should no flesh be saved alive. But for the elect sakes, that us who are on the earth, among the elect, those who God have called and has his spirit, and we are praying night and day for these things to come to an end. Verse 23, then if any man shall say unto you, look, there is Christ, or there he is, you know, for there shall be rise false Christ and false prophets. Don't listen to them. The point is, that this is it. And for the people of God, if it wasn't for us, then those days would not have been shortened. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Now, we read also elsewhere that this is also the time of Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, talks about it. And I just thought I'd cover these so you begin to see how comprehensive this is and what God is doing overall, so that we all can see what is going on. In Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, and verse 6, it says, "Ask you now and see whether a man does travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned to paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." Here it is again. It's the same time that there's none like it. It's the greatest of all. Well, it's all three different viewpoints of this same time. So each time cannot be bigger than the other, and they separate. They all have to be the same time. Now, what will be the outcome of all these, many may ask? What is going to be the end result? What is going to take place? Well, in Isaiah, the second chapter, we just want to go ahead and just cover this briefly. We will come back to that. But I just want to go ahead and summarize so we will understand clearly that there is a method to what is going on. It says in verse 1, "The word of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." So Isaiah had a vision, he saw things, and he recorded it. Verse 2, "It shall come to pass in the last days." When is that? In the last days. "That the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains." Notice now he says, the mountain of the Lord's house. So it is going to be the land where the Lord's house is, and it is going to be the top, the chief one. Well, it's when it's going to happen? In the Lord's house. In the last days. In top of the mountains and the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Well, here it is. You have a worldly ruling territory again. All nations are going to flow to it, but this time it is the mountain of the Lord that is established. So this now is another way of describing the kingdom of God. And so this is what we're going to see come to pass in the last days, shortly after the demise of the Holy Roman Empire, the final resurrection. God is establishing this because this is the final resurrection of the Roman Empire, which has been just taken over. He uses the kings of the east to destroy it. Well, actually, and they are going to fight against Jesus at his coming. But the point is that they are going to go, and Jesus is going to come with the kingdom of God. Same thing we read about in Daniel, the second chapter, verse 40 through 44. And so the saints now are going to reign and rule with him. How do we know that? Well, Revelation, the 30th chapter. So let's follow what's going on now. What we're saying is that the Lord is going to set up the kingdom of God. A strong angel is going to come down, verse 1 of Revelation 20, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, which we know is the serpent, the Satan, the devil, and bound him for 1,000 years. Verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up, that he should see and put a seal on him, that he should deceive the nation no more until the 1,000 years are fulfilled. That's a different story, but we just want to get the brief of it. And verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. They were thrones. Judgment was given to them. Them who? We, the saints. That they were, was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither the image, neither received his mark on their foreheads nor in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So here it is now. this is going to be the destiny. So this is going to be the end result. That's verse 4 of Revelation 20. And that is what is going to happen. And we, the saints, again, are going to reign and rule with Jesus. Now, what is that kingdom like? Well, let's look at some highlights quickly. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 65, I want to bring this one out because so many as, folks are, you know, complaining these days about sicknesses and disease and so on. Well, there's going to come a time where that will be no more. And so in Isaiah chapter 65, God is prophesying that there is going to be as really what I call increase in longevity. Verse 21 says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them. So the people who build the house, they inhabit them. Now, what happens these days when people build their houses? If they do a good job, then it usually outlasts them. That's the point he's making. Well, these people are going to stay in their house. Why? Because they're going to be around. And they shall inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of it. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So we are going to live as long as trees. That's hundreds of years. Have you ever thought about it? The humankind with our wisdom and our capacity can't outlast a tree in terms of longevity? Well, God has allowed it to be so now, but he's going to reverse all that, and people are going to live as long as trees, okay? And so there's going to be an increase in the longevity of the people. Now, what else is going to happen? Well, in addition, there's going to be an abundance of food. Let's look at the book of Amos, chapter 9. You know, there are people complain about these days, especially these days, about the price of food. Well, supply has something to do with it. Well, things are going to change. In Amos chapter 9, it says in verse 13, behold, the days come, says the Lord. So he's saying it's coming. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Well, we had such an abundance last year that they haven't even finished reaping it. And yet people are coming again to plant. And they have to wait because the amount that we had last time was so much, they don't want to waste it, that they're still reaping. That is how things will be. So the plowman is going to overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes him that sow it. So the person now who is, you know, getting ready to plant again, they have to wait. And so you have so much now that the person is still treading out the grapes and squeezing things out. And the sow of seed, and the mountain shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. This is when he has brought back from captivity, verse 49. I'll bring again the captivity of my people Israel. Well, they're going to come back and settle in the territory God had purposed for them, and they're going to live and do right this time around. Now, some of the highlights that you just want to bring to your attention. In the book of Zechariah, the 8th chapter, it says, in the streets, verse 4, in the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing. Children can't do that now, especially most streets. They get run over by cars. People are so busy and nothing like that. You have drive-by shooting and all the kind of terror and, you know, madness that goes on these days. But it's going to be different during that time when the kingdom of God is established on earth. Notice there's a whole different spirit with the way things are set up and how things will be operating. Continue then. What else is going to happen in during that time? Every man, it says, because things are going to be so, you know, tranquil, things are going to be so nice, that every man is going to be able to sit under his own vine. He won't be afraid of anybody else. You don't need a gun to defend yourself. You're going to have angels help really directing a lot of what is going on. But it says in verse 4, chapter 4 of the book of Micah, let's start with verse 1. In the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountain, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. That's what we read in Isaiah the second chapter. Here it is saying the same thing word for word. That is what is going to happen. And many nations, verse 2, shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, for out of Zion, we shall walk in his, let's read verse 2 again. Many shall say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path, for the law will go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So this is what is going to happen. The word is going to be permeating the area, and people are going to listen to it. Now, we have a few folks that listen to us now, but not that many. The whole world is going to change during that time. Verse 3 says, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off. There's some nations still have some capacity, some tendency to want to act up. And I don't want to call names, but some nations are like that. So God is still going to tighten up on things and say, hey, straighten up. Or I cut off your rein if you don't behave yourself, or stuff like that. Till they come to their senses and start to behave right. Because mankind is going to have to unlearn what we are learning now and learn to do things God's way. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. In other words, they're not going to make any weapons for wars. They're going to use it for harvesting and things that are beneficial for mankind. Their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Look at what is happening between Russia and Ukraine. They're cousins. And look, I mean, it's going on now quite some time. They're fighting this war. It makes no sense. And all that weaponry is being used, and all the effort is going there. Not only are they robbing other people from living comfortably, but they are also killing folks. That is wrong. All that is going to change. Verse 4 of Micah chapter 4, it says, but they shall sit every man under his vine, whether they're Russian or Ukrainian or African, whatever. Every man is going to sit under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. When he says it, it's going to happen. And he declared that is what is going to happen at that time. So, everyone then, including the original chosen people, that's the nation of Israel, will all know the Lord. In the book of Jeremiah, the 50th chapter, God was not pleased with some of what transpired. And so he documents in chapter 50 and verse 60 the behavior of the people when they come to the proper understanding of what is going on. Look at what it says in Jeremiah chapter 50 and in verse 6. He says, my people shall have been lost sheep. People are lost these days, all over the world. People are lost, not just the nation of Israel. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. So that's what happened. There are a lot of false teaching, and we talked about that before, that have gone out and lead the people astray. And they have turned them away from out of the way and on the mountain, and they have gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. This is what is going to happen. That is what is actually taking place. And so he say, God is looking at this now, and he says, I am going to do something about it. What is he going to do? He's setting up the kingdom of God. The people have been lost sheep. That's not going to happen anymore, because God now is in charge. And as we read earlier, we the saints are going to reign and rule with him. So that's what we're going to see take place. Now, it is promised that something unusual is going to take place. Let me tell you a quick story while I turn here. So many years ago, when we just established our congregation, there's a lady who came with her grandchild, and her legs were sprained, and so she couldn't walk. The grandmother put her down on the ground and said, she's not going to go anywhere because she has a sprained ankle. Well, she put her down, and right before her eyes, she just got up and started to walk. She got healed right there. We all just looked at each other and started praising the Lord. Well, what happened? The glory of the Lord came upon her. Well, in the book of Isaiah, the 4th chapter, God is promising that similar situation is going to take place when he comes. And so in the 4th chapter and verse 5, the Lord will create over every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and a smoke by day, and a shining of flame of fire by night, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. Every assembly is going to have the glory of the Lord over it. And so people can just go there, and if there was anything that is not quite in place, they're just going to get healed just like that. That is what this means. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow, and the daytime for a heat, and for a place of refuge, for a covering from storm and from rain. The expression here is physical, but it is a spiritual concept. Now, this shouldn't be strange to us, because when God comes and establishes the kingdom of God, what we're going to find is that things are going to be even better than when he had established the nation of Israel before. Well, look at what happened in Israel before they collapsed. In Ezekiel, the 10th chapter, it says in verse 4 that the glory of the Lord went up from the cherubim. You remember the cherubim were in the Holy of Holies? And the glory of the Lord now is departing from the cherubims and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. Well, it is going away. You can read the whole chapter in your own time. But I'm saying, even when God was dealing with the nation of Israel, they had the glory over the temple. You can read about it in 2 Kings chapter 7. But my point again is that all that now is going to be evident day in, day out over the assemblies when God establishes the kingdom of God on earth. And so they're not going to be any sick person anywhere. Everybody is going to be healthy, and as we pointed out, they're going to live as long as trees. I want to finally go into, there's two more things. Let's touch on Isaiah chapter 11. Let's go to Isaiah 11, confirming what I have been saying so that we understand more clearly how things are going to be. It says in verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Notice what he's prophesying. Remember he said, the mountain of the Lord is going to be established in chapter 2, verse 2. Well, here it is now. He's saying chapter 11, verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the water covered the sea. Is the sea covered with water? You better believe it. It's full. And the earth is going to be filled just like that. It's going to be overflowing with the word of the Lord. Now, that is how it's going to be, ladies and gentlemen. And as a result, then, we will see a certain tranquility upon the earth that we, the saints, are going to enjoy, and the people who remain at that time before they enter into the kingdom of God. Look at Revelation, the 22nd chapter. That's the final chapter in the book of, book of Revelation, in the whole Bible, really. It says, "He showed me a pure river of water of life." What kind of river is this? A river that has water, a different type of water. It's a water of life. Clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. So this word is going to continue to flow from Jesus. In the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river, was there a tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, and yield her fruit every month, and the leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. Now, what I'm trying to share with you is that when the kingdom of God is established, headquarters is going to be in Jerusalem, there is going to be a throne, and figuratively speaking, the word is going to go out from Jerusalem. So it's just like a river, clear as crystal. Clear, what means clean water that you can drink and use, utilize. It's very, very beneficial. And the side of it is going to be trees for the healing of the nations. In other words, it's going to produce these things. Well, guess what is going to happen? When they get the word in them, they're going to be healed, and people are going to live long. That's what I was saying. They're going to live for hundreds of years. People very rarely live to 100 now these days. That's an amazing fact. And they talk about these things. There are very few people on earth who live that long. But they're going to live for hundreds of years. This is going to be a part of the good news that you and I have the privilege of sharing with the people now. Some won't believe it. But for those who believe, they're going to be in the kingdom. And they're going to help Jesus. And we're going to go forth and spread this news as far as God allows us to do it now. And then when the kingdom of God is established, we are going to really allow the other people to develop, and they will learn these things. They're going to have a better time than we do now. They don't have the trials we have, at least not for the 1,000 years. And so that is the good news of the coming kingdom of God. And so here you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the summary start. What started out in Babylon, where they conquered Judah, it goes from one territory to another, from the nation of Babylon to Media Persia to Greece, and then to the Rome and the various resurrection of the Roman Empire. And after the final resurrection of the Roman Empire, which we know as the European Union, takes place, and when that demise, then the kingdom of God is going to be established. Jesus Christ is going to be the king. We are going to be the little kings under him, helping to reign and rule and spread this information. You ever wonder what's going to happen after that? All these planets, who's going to control them? We are. That's right. We'll talk more about this in another lesson, but thank you so much for joining, and we'll see you next time.